All right, we're going to sing Constantly Abiding, and let's all stand. Welcome to the evening service. This is an unusual song in that it starts with 3-4 time, and then the chorus goes to 4-4, and then we got to go back to 3-4 when we get back to the beginning. Some of you are going, well, it means nothing to me. But it's an interesting song. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. All the world seems to sing of a Savior and King when peace sweetly came to my heart. Troubles all fled away and my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious thou art. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. This treasure I have in a temple of clay, while here on his throne. But he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to constantly abiding, Jesus is mine, yes, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh, so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine.
You wonder what I was looking for, lost stuff. I don't know if Susanna or anyone else knows where the rest of the psalm books are at. If you'll let us know, we're probably not going to keep them in here. Brother Nicholas is talking about getting rid of the psalm books and just using this. But I know we had a bigger stack than what we put out. Also, if you know where my Trump hat is at, if you hit my Trump hat from me, that's not funny because I lose stuff all the time, which is why I always have to buy new stuff because I can't remember where I put it. And that's what I was looking for. I thought, I don't know where my stuff is at. Please don't take my glasses. I've spent hours looking for my glasses at times as well. And because I'm blind without my glasses, I have my old pair. Sometimes I have to go get my old pair of glasses to put them on to try to look for my other glasses wherever they're at because I can't see them. So my wife thinks all this is hilarious. I don't think it's that funny, but she thinks this is all hilarious when that happens. But so I sometimes misplace stuff and I can't find it. I'm really rich. I just don't know where all the money went. So, it's somewhere around the house somewhere probably. But good to see you back tonight. Again, it was good to have visitors with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, thank you for this evening, the time we have together. I pray, Lord, you'd bless now. Speak through the rest of the song service, the testimonies, and then, Lord, the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, we're going to count our blessings. Count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Mr. Sellers, you can get the microphone. We'll need that in a few moments. Don't forget to pray for these folks. Pray for Roy as he's recovering from his surgery a couple weeks ago, but still trying to get up and around. So pray for Brother Lowry, upcoming surgery. He has one more surgery for his eyes, and that should be the last one. Mrs. Perry's cousin and Sharon. Sharon, I should have wrote down this morning, then I wouldn't have had to ask again, but do pray for Sharon. Again, that is that she doesn't have COVID, which is a blessing, but she just can't get rid of the pneumonia. And again, I appreciate the fact that she'd been a Christian school teacher for 40 years. Pray for Brother Coral. He'll be coming in. Now, pray for them as they drive. They'll be driving Friday and Saturday. He said they should get in Saturday evening, but they're driving from Pennsylvania, so pray for them. He's hoping to bring his wife with him, but pray as they drive. Whether his wife was able to make it or not, he's still driving. But again, he said if she can drive, that will help. She drives some as well and breaks up the driving. So pray for Brother Coral Friday and Saturday to make it in safely. Youth activity Friday night, 5:45, we'll leave. Or you can meet us over at Texas Baptist, but we're going to Texas Baptist to play some volleyball. If you can either bring some water or some soda, we're supplying the drinks. And then they are supplying the tacos. So that will be Texas Baptist, 5:45. Leave, get back about 9:30. Brother Price has mentioned that October the 5th is the last day that you can register for the November 3rd election. Early voting starts October the 13th, goes till October the 30th. And again, it says if you want to find out if you're registered or not, the information and all that, you can go and use the QR code on the table in the foyer, and it will scan your, you can use your smartphone to scan that and make sure that that you are up to date on your voting. My wife saw this somewhere, so I had to write it down so I wouldn't forget it. She said this lady had a good idea of what the BLM should stand for. Instead of Black Lives Matter, it should mean Belt Loops Matter, Pull Up Your Pants. And so I thought that was a good one. Yeah. That would be a good thing for a lot of young folks to do is make sure the belt loops matter and pull up their pants. I'll start with Mrs. Bell's blessing, and we'll have the blessings. Mrs. Bell's blessing was that her brother, he does have bronchitis. Now, normally, we're in a weird time when we're thankful we have bronchitis. But his test came back. He only has bronchitis, so pray that he can recover from that, but does not have COVID, so that's a blessing. All right, Mr. Sells, where you at? There you are. All right, anyone, we'll start over here since Mr. Sells is there. Miss Stella?
Tatiana's been having testing at school the past couple weeks, and she's doing well.
Good.
So I told her I'd be really disappointed if she came from Liberty Christian Academy and didn't do well in soul winning.
Good. All right, anyone else over in that section? Don't want to miss anyone. Anyone else with a blessing? All right, Mr. Sells, let's head over this way. Anyone in this center section here with a blessing? Anyone with a blessing? Don't be shy.
Yeah, again, been kind of discouraged at the soul winning booth, not getting really any results, and people not wanting to talk and not wanting to pray. And then the blessing was that a couple ladies came this morning, yeah. But then somebody went with me to the soul winning booth, and I watched them, and it was the same thing for them, that just the people aren't responding, or we're barely able to get them to take a track or something like that. And so it was a blessing to see. I was blaming myself, and it was just, it's the people. They just have no desire.
If you wonder why we're doing the testimony time as well, we have folks at home that have liked that, because they said those who are shut in still haven't came to church, they get to hear you speak, which is why we have you hold the microphone. First, they said, I can hear what you're saying, Brother Block, but I can't hear what the people are saying. So the folks at home are glad to hear from some of you. Mrs. Mayo, I talked to her today. I had forgot to call her for quite some time, and so I checked with her today. She's doing okay. But if you're one of the few folks that have her number, and I know some of you do, she would appreciate a call. She has not made it back out because she has some underlying conditions, but she has been able to hear the services online. But she said to tell you she really misses y'all. So anyone else in this section with a blessing? All right, let's head across the aisle. Anyone over there? Yes, ma'am.
It's a blessing that we came back safely from our trip.
Good. Get the phone to Dad. No, hang on. Dad's got to tell us. Hang on. We've been missing Brittany the Zapatas. He has to tell us how things went and how things went on the trip.
It was great. We got to see a lot of family, friends, and visit some churches that support the children's homes and stuff. So it was just a big road trip, but got to see everybody.
Good. We were praying for y'all while he's gone. Good to have you back. Brother Mitchell in the back.
Yeah, I got a double blessing tonight. First, be in the house of God, be able to sing. It's good to do that. Amen. And then I saw this candy come in the back out here, and I'm thinking, oh my, here we go again.
Well, someone asked me this morning for some, they wanted some chocolate covered almonds. And if any of that candy that I like, I don't need it, but I like the chocolate covered almonds. So the almond bars used to have chunks of almonds in it, and then they went to chips of almond. And I called the guy up and I said, we have people that said they get the almond bar and they wonder where the almond's at. And he said, well, we quit. It was too expensive, apparently. So he said, we quit putting the chunks in, and now we just put chips. And so sometimes it's hard to find the chips of almonds in the almond bars. But with the chocolate covered almonds, you can find the almonds. So that's why we brought them down. Anyone else in this section with a blessing? Brother Yala?
It's a blessing to me to be in church when the doors are open. And it's a blessing to see all my family here in church. And also I want to say that tomorrow is my buddy's birthday, Isaac.
Oh, Isaac's birthday is tomorrow? Well, happy birthday, Isaac. How old are you going to be?
12.
I shouldn't ask. Just makes me feel old. All right.
I forgot to mention the youth rally was a huge blessing. Because I know a lot of the people here gave to that, and some of the teens got saved.
Yeah, I told them about the two that got saved. We thanked them, and then you'd want us to say that. But
yes, and then I think a lot of the teens, you know, stood up and surrendered to kind of, you know, make sure God was first in their life and stuff. So it was a big blessing.
It was a blessing.
I received a blessing from it. So
it was. Yes, sir. I still can't say his name. How do you say his name, right? Yes. I grew up hearing Pollock jokes, and he even told Pollock jokes. It's okay when you can joke with yourself, but he's a Pollock, so he told. But when I grew up in Missouri, that's what they used to tell was Pollock jokes. My dad used to tease Mrs. Block. He used to tell her she was a Pollock and tell Pollock jokes. She didn't ever appreciate that. She told him she was Irish Indian, and if he kept telling Pollock jokes, he was going to get to see her temper from that Irish Indian part. So, all right, anyone of the blessing over here? Anyone over here? All right, thank you, Brother Sells. We appreciate it.
All right, let's all stand. It's called As a Volunteer. A call for loyal soldiers, come to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Yes, Jesus calls for soldiers who are filled with power. Soldiers who will serve him every day and hour. He will not forsake you. He is ever near. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true? Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? And when the war is over and the victory won, when the true and faithful gather one by one, he will crown with glory all who there appear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true? Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful once again for the opportunity to be here this evening, Lord. And as always, we're just so grateful for the blessings that you give to us and for this opportunity to give, and pray that it might help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a blessing having young folks learning. I'm sure it's a lot easier to learn a piano at a younger age than it is when you get old. So, all right, Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power, not the labor of my hands can fulfill my law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on the judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
That song, Rock of Ages, is the first song I remember sitting on my mama's knee singing. She taught me that when I was about 3 years old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It's a song I've done before, but never with a guitar. I wrote it a couple of years ago, actually 3 years ago. It's Life is Like a Vapor. Don't boast about tomorrow, might not live that long. Don't take this life for granted, too soon it's gone. Do what you ought to do, or it gets too late. Don't take regrets with you to that pearly gate. Life is like a vapor, don't last that long. It seems we just get started, and then it's gone. Only things we do to God are gonna last. So we best keep on working right up to the last. Keep pressing toward the mark with all your might. The high calling of our God is worth the fight. Keep the faith and run your race effectually. Crown of righteousness our Lord has promised thee. Life is like a vapor, it don't last that long. It seems we just get started, then it's gone. Only things we do for God are gonna last. So we best keep on working right up to the last. Don't ask what he can do, but you've done so much. Forgave our sin, brought us in with his gentle touch. Never can repay for the debt we owe. We should gratefully be trying to do so. Cause life is like a vapor, it don't last that long. Seems we just get started, then it's gone. Only things we do for God are gonna last. So we best keep on working right up to the last. Only things we do for God are gonna last. So we best keep on working right up to the last.
Thank you, sir. Grab your Bibles, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I mentioned this morning. This is probably one of my favorite lessons of all the character lessons that I've taught on. This one has a lot, and I don't usually read his notes. Most time I took his points and added my stuff to it as well. This is one where I'm going to stick mainly to his notes because he has some really good stuff, and I want to make sure I get through it all. We're going to read a lot of scriptures at the first. Most of you know the Psalm 119 has many different words in referring to the Bible, statutes, testimonies, word, so on and so forth. But we're going to look at several verses tonight in Psalm 119, and then we'll get into the lesson. So go to Psalm 119. I'm going to read a lot. I'm going to read quickly because I got a bunch. These are all Psalm 119, so needless to say, there's a lot of them. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read all of them, but I want to read several of them real quick, starting with 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Question mark. And the answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. 28, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. 42, so shall I have withal wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now, if you notice, he says, you know what? When I'm struggling, I need your word. Your word reminds me to do things I should do. Keeps me away from certain things. Continue on. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. How is he comforted? For thy word hath quickened me. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Verse 65, thou hast dealt with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. By the way, that's true of all of us. We mess up, we go astray. If we keep the word of God, it will keep us on the right path. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I'm going to skip some. Verse 82, mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Brother Vinny used to say, either the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book, and that is true. What he said was, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, because I keep thy word. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. 123, mine eyes fell for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. 158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. 160, the word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. 162, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. 169, let my cry come near before thee, O God, give me understanding according to thy word. 170, let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Psalm 138, verse 2 simply says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You wonder how important the word of God is? David said that God had magnified it above the name. Again, so the word of God is very important. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer, and we're going to look tonight at character and reading the Bible. Father, thank you for the word of God. I'm so thankful that we have it. One of the young ladies mentioned this morning that we have the word of God in our language. There are countries, there are people that do not have the word of God available to them. They can't read it. They can't study it because it's not in their language. No one has translated it in their, or they haven't been able to afford to buy it because sometimes translations are very expensive. But the Bible probably is one of the cheapest books that we can find and cheapest books that we can buy. We can find them at the dollar store. And though it may not be as fancy a cover and as fancy a book, it still has the Word of God within the pages. And Lord, we are so thankful that we have this book. Help us that we might do what we should to study it, read it, and live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to look tonight at character and reading the Bible. Now, because the Bible is the Word of God, we have to understand that we have the ability every day to hear from God. Now, that doesn't mean we do, but we have the ability every day to hear from God. And again, when you think about how important God is, again, I don't know about you. There are certain people's hands. If I could shake their hand, I'd count that a real privilege. But most of those people, like when they have a rally, I mean, I would love to shake President Trump's hand. But the truth is, when they have a rally, it's in certain towns, and there's, I mean, sometimes it's hard to get to those places. But the truth is, there are a lot of people on this earth that we'll never get to have hear from them, have a conversation with them. Sometimes our school kids have an assignment, and it'll be to write to somebody. Maybe it's to a congressman, maybe it's to someone else. And every once in a while, they'll get a letter back. And by the way, most of those letters were not written by that congressman or by that person. It was written by that person's secretary. Now, the fact that they even wrote back, I mean, our kids always appreciate that. But the truth is, we have the ability, the most important entity in all the universe, God of all creation, the God who watches everybody, the God who hears all of our, not only our words, but our thoughts. He takes the time every day, if we allow him to talk to us. We can hear from him. I mean, we can talk to him and he will listen to us. So in Bible reading and prayer, we have two great accesses to God that many times we do not take advantage of. He mentions this. He says, you can go away from your personal devotion saying, wow, that was good. I needed that. That will help me. And by the way, that is what the Word of God is supposed to do for us. It is supposed to give us the strength when we need strength. It will give us encouragement when we need encouragement. It will give us some energy when we need energy. It will give us some determination when we need that. By the way, it'll give us some fire when we need that. The Word of God is an amazing book. Now, Here's some things that he said we should do every time we do devotions. So this is something we should do every time we do devotions, and I'm going to go through these. And again, I'm going to read mainly just his main thoughts because they're so good. Number one, by character, come to the Word of God expecting. Now, you haven't even opened up the Bible yet. The first three points, you haven't even opened up the Bible. These are things to do before you open up the Bible. He said, by character, come to the Word of God expecting to get something from the time you spend with Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, to be able to either hear the Word of God preached or to read the Word of God is how you and I hear the Word of God, and that's how our faith is to grow. So again, he said, do these things. He said, think about it. Number one, does God want you to get something from your devotions? The answer is yes. Does God have a truth for you? The answer is yes. Does God want to bless you? The answer is yes. Does God want the Holy Spirit to speak to you during the devotion? The answer again is yes. He said, start believing you're going to receive something, something from the Bible every time you read it. So again, the first thing he said was, by character, come to the Word of God. You're getting ready to do your devotions. Come to the Word of God expecting. Don't just read your chapters because you're trying to read the Bible through in a year. And by the way, if you read your Bible through in a year, you will do something that many Christians have never done. There are a lot of Christians. So again, if you read your Bible through in a year, praise the Lord for that. A lot of Christians have never done that. But the truth is, we really want to do more than just do our Bible reading. We really want to get something from our Bible reading. And again, so he said, all those are things that you do before you even start reading. Number two, by character, come surrendering to the truths that God's going to reveal to you. Now, I remember when I first got saved, I asked God this. And by the way, don't ask God this unless you mean it. I asked God, I told God, I made God a promise, you show me something in the Bible, and I'll do my best to obey it. Now, I heard stuff from the preaching, and sometimes God used the preaching to show me. By the way, that's why certain things started to fall away from this fella. That little boy that got saved and some of the bad habits and some of the language he had and some of the other things, I heard preachers preach, and I realized, you know what? A Christian is not supposed to do those things. The Holy Spirit convicted me through the preaching the Word of God, but also through daily devotions. I was reading the Bible regularly. Again, mainly from 12 on up. I don't remember reading as much when I was 9 or 10 or 11, but at 12 years of age when I surrendered to preach and surrendered to do the will of God, I got into the Bible a lot more, but I'd promise God, you show me something, I'll do my best to obey it. Again, don't tell God that unless you mean it. Because he will show you stuff, and then he will expect you to put it into practice. But again, he said, by character, come surrendering to the truth that God reveals to you. Plan to change before the command to change. Now think about that. Plan to change before, I mean, God hasn't even shown me yet what I'm supposed to do. But I've already told him, you know, you show me, I'll do it. Then I go, and sure enough, there it is. He showed me, so now, I mean, if I'm going to keep my word to God, I'm going to have to change, because I told him, you show me what I need to fix, and I'll work on fixing it. Now, I can tell you, you will always, and I will always be a work in progress. We will never arrive at the point that we no longer have anything to fix, because we're living in a human body, a sinful body, so we're always going to have that flesh in there, so the Holy Spirit's always going to have to, but listen to me, why would God show you and I any new truth if we haven't taken care of the truth we already have? So again, he said, by character, come surrendering to the truth that God reveals to you. Plan to change before the command to change. Then he says this, tell God, I know I'm going to learn something. Tell him, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. By the way, he also goes on and says, it makes sense to receive something and not, he said, it makes no sense to receive something and not use it. Now, my wife thinks I'm kind of a hoarder, and I might be. But see, in my mind, I keep those things because I plan, I think someday I might need it. Now, would be that we could be hoarders when it comes to the Word of God. Most of us are not. But again, does this no good to get something? Because my wife will say, when are you ever going to use that? I said, I don't know. Someday, maybe. And by the way, there's been some times, and she'll have to tell you this, been a few times something came up, and I said, I know I got that. Now, the problem is at my age, I don't always remember where I got it at. I don't know if you're like me. Every time I have to do plumbing, you know what I always have to go buy? Another hacksaw. I don't know how many hacksaws I have. Several. And now I know where the last one is because I finally put it. Now, as I've got older, I've got smarter. I've realized I can't find it unless I put it in the same place every time. So now I actually, my house is becoming organized. My wife can tell you, I have stuff in drawers and I have stuff in little boxes, and I've even labeled it, and I put all the tools and stuff in a certain place, because when I don't, I have no idea where it's at. Now, the good news is it's like Christmas when I clean house, because I find things I haven't seen for years. I mean, so it's like, hey, babe, look what I found. I mean, and then, you know, what are you going to do with that? I'll probably save it. I might need it someday. But the truth is, why would God give us any new commands if we haven't obeyed the other commands? Well, I mean, what's the use of telling us something else if we haven't done anything with the stuff he's already given us? So he said it makes no sense to receive something and not use it. Then the next thing underneath that, he said, God's not in a big hurry to give more truth to somebody who abused the last truth that was given. Now think about it. Let's look at responsibilities. Why would I give someone another job if they haven't finished the first job? Why would I give someone else some more responsibility when they weren't responsible, I mean, in the first place? I appreciate what Brother Nichols does around here. Brother Nichols says he does not give people jobs to keep them faithful to the Liberty Baptist Church. He finds people who are faithful at Liberty Baptist Church and gives them jobs. Now, that's not what most preachers do. A lot of preachers try to tie people to the church by giving them something to do. And there are people that will stay in the church because they got a position or they've got something to do. By the way, that's not why you're supposed to come to church. You're not supposed to come to church because you have a position. Before I had a position at Liberty Baptist Church, I was still faithful to a church. I've been faithful to a church since I got saved and my parents raised me up and kept me in church. Again, I gave my kids the same three options my parents gave me every Sunday morning. You can go to church, you can go to church, or you can go to church. That was the options they always had. Simple thing. They always made the right choice. Now, there's some other times they didn't make the right choice, but when I gave them those three options, they always chose the right one. And they went to church. But again, he said, by character, come surrendering to the truth that God reveals to you. So tell God before you even start reading, God, you show me something, and I am going to do it. You point it out to me. You show me some things, something I need to improve in my life, something I need to fix, and I will fix it. Again, we haven't opened the Bible yet. Number three, he said, by character, I come expecting to use the truth that God has given me. Come expecting God to, I mean, when he shows me that truth, I plan to use it. Now, why do you go to the car lot and buy a car? So you can take it and park it in the garage and never drive it again? That would make no sense. It doesn't. Why would you buy a gun? Why would you buy a hoe? Why would you buy a tiller? Why would you buy any tool or any instrument if you didn't have plans for it? So why read the Word of God if you're not going to do anything with it? Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from reading the Word of God. I want you to understand and so to see that but read it with the intent to do something with it. Now, many a husband has brought stuff home, and the wife says to him, what do you plan on doing with that? And sometimes we have big plans. Now, we don't always carry out those big plans. Now, for a while, I enjoyed COVID. Then COVID became a real big pain because at first, I just did some of the stuff on my wife's list. I did get some of it done, didn't I, baby? I mean, I did some stuff on my wife's list. But then that got real tiring. You know what? I mean, doing the list. So then I got off the list and did some other stuff. But the truth is, it gave me lots of time. It also made it where, like I said, it was easy to get out of the habit of having so many nights going on at the church. That's why I said, it's going to be a new thing. I mean, we're going to have to make ourselves get back to doing it. Don't stay in the habit of not coming on Thursday night. Don't stay in the habit of not coming to youth activities on Friday. Don't stay in the habit of not soul winning during the week. Don't stay, just because we haven't been doing that doesn't mean we don't. And again, we should have already been passing out tracts. We should have already been doing some of these other things that we could do. But again, Brother Taylor mentioned that in his sermon. He said, will you do something? Will you promise me you'll do something if I ask you to? And the whole idea was, we got to get back doing stuff. We got to get back being a lighthouse. Now think, I don't know if there's ever been a time in Liberty Baptist Church's history that we haven't had somebody saved in a whole month. But it hasn't been just a month. It hasn't been just 2 months. It hasn't been just 3 months. It has probably been 5 or 6 months since we had somebody saved at the altar. Truth is, we've had one baptism in 6 months, and that was a young man one of our church members' kids that got saved. Do you realize that Liberty, that's not normal for Liberty Baptist Church? Again, we were one of the few churches in town that passed out tracts and witnessed and gave them. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you have never had someone from another church knock on your door in all the time you've lived? Never had someone from another church not knock on your door, invite your church? Anyone like that? How many of you, the person that knocked on your door or visited you was a Mormon or Jehovah Witness? We've had a Mormon or Jehovah Witness put something on our door when we lived in San Antonio, and out where we live now, we had someone put it on the gate. That's the only, I've never been invited to another church. I've never had someone from another church, by the way, Baptist included, never had someone from another church invite me to church other than the Mormon or Jehovah Witness. That's it. That's the only person I've ever had that's ever invited Mr. Block and I, ever left us a track, or ever invited us to their church. Now, I've went to people's churches where they invited me back to their church, but I mean, I went to that church, whether on vacation or someplace else. But again, We're a lighthouse. We were known as one of the soul-winning churches in town. But again, we've got out of the habit of soul winning, so we're going to have to kick it back into gear. I mean, it's like we left the car in the garage and we haven't used it. I mean, and if you know anything about a car, that car that doesn't run, you leave the car set for a while, that doesn't mean it's going to, that wasn't actually a good thing for it. I don't think leaving a Christian for the last 6 months not doing anything has been a good thing for us as Christians either. It's got to have a lot, he got us out of a lot of habits that we need to be in. So he said, "By character, I come expecting to use the truth that God has given me." He said, "I've not even opened up the Bible yet." He said, underneath that, "Also promise God you will take what he is about to give you and share it." It's a blessing to tell your husband or wife, to tell your kids, or to tell someone else what you saw today. That tells us two things. One, you got excited about it. And two, you were reading the Bible. You can't share something if you don't. I mean, again, I have to have it before I can share it with you. So again, get in the Bible. Promise God, you give it to me and I'm going to share it. I'm going to show it to somebody else. Whatever truth you give me, I'll give it away. I'll not hoard your truth. I'll not keep it to myself. Now listen to me. There are some encouraging verses in the Bible that others have given me that's been an encouragement to me. There's been some promises in the Bible that someone showed me. Now, I'm sure I read it, but I didn't catch it. And someone else talked about it, and it was like, man, that's good. So again, whatever truth you give me, tell God whatever truth you give me, I'll give it away. I'll not hoard it. I will not read it and reject it. Now, he said this, and this is probably sad. He said this, most of us are spiritually educated beyond our character to perform it. What he's saying is, we know how to do a lot more good than we are actually doing. We know how to do more right than we're actually doing. He said, we are spiritually educated beyond our character to perform it. Number four about reading the Bible, again, character and having and our Bible reading. He said, number four, by character, do not be in a hurry. Now, you don't usually. Now, I am one that doesn't like watching commercials on TV. I love, what is that thing called where we can fast forward? What is it where we record it? The Hopper. I love the Hopper. My wife records stuff, and then that way I can just fast forward through commercials. Now, especially lately, I'm kind of angry at some of the commercials because all they've got on there is a silly Black Lives Matter junk. And so, now again, if we got on there and gave our side of it or the conservative side of it, I mean, we wouldn't even probably be allowed on TV. That would probably would not be legal to put it on TV. But the truth is, I don't like commercials. I don't like watching 30 minutes of TV in an hour. I like watching 30 minutes of TV in 30 minutes. So, I mean, I can watch two of my show in the time that you watch one of your show and you have to put up with all those commercials, and I don't. I don't watch very much stuff live. My wife used to get mad at me because I'd go from channel to channel to channel, and I love Recall. I mean, I'd just push it, and I'd watch that one until the commercial and then go to that one. I was watching two and three shows at the same time. The problem is they all end at the very same time, so you always miss at least one or two of their endings, but not when I can record it. Now, again, think about it. Most of you are not in a hurry. When you come to when it's movie night or it's TV night or it's date night, you sit down, you're not in a hurry. Why is it that we're in a hurry when it comes to the Word of God? Why is it that, I mean, we tell God, all right, God, you got 2 minutes. Bless me if you can. I mean, you better hurry it up. Now, we don't do that when it comes to our entertainment. Now, could you imagine? Now, again, I'm a guy that don't like waiting in line, so I'm the guy that would probably be hurrying you. I go to a restaurant. There's a long line. I go find me another restaurant. Unless Mrs. Block, I'll say, "You really want to stay here?" And God bless her little heart. She usually says, "Nope, let's find someplace else." I'm glad she's a woman after my own heart. But every once in a while, she said, "Well, man, I was really wanting it." It's like, okay, now I'll put up with a line for her. I put up with lines in amusement parks for the teenagers. They all wanted to ride the stupid ride, so I stand in line with them. I mean, and ride the stupid ride with them. You say, "Brother Block, did you like those scary rides?" Not at all. I've told you before. I talk myself into having a bad time on those rides because I always say to myself, if that roller coaster goes off and I always picture going around that curve and going off and I die and I stand before St. Peter and he just stands at the pearly gate going, "Really? Really? You had nothing better to do than ride that? I mean, didn't you realize how dangerous those things were?" So it took all fun out of the amusement park. You said, "Brother Block, raise your hands up." First off, I don't even want to take my hands off the handlebars, okay? I'm scared that the things, you say, "Well, Brother Block, they lock it." Uh-huh. Does anyone ever fall out of those things? Yes, they do. I do not want to be the one, okay? I don't want to be the one hanging upside down. Now, I hate those, what is that one, the Ferris wheel? I hate the Ferris wheel because they give you like two turns around, and then they're unloading. But in unloading, you park, and they unload, and then they park, and you unload. And I'm thinking, wow, why can't you just throw us off? I mean, load everybody up, and get everybody unloaded. But again, understand, I would stand in line if the teenagers, "Oh, Brother Block, we got to ride the edge. Oh, well, I want to ride the edge. I've been..." He said, "Brother Block, did you ever ride the edge?" "Oh, yeah." "Did it scare you?" "Oh, yeah." clankety, 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 clank, clankety, clank. I mean, it's so slow going up. You think they could get you up there faster than that. Clankety, clank, clankety, clank, clankety, clank. They wait for a second. You're thinking, when's it going to fall? Ah! That's when it falls. I mean, about the time you're thinking it's not going to fall. Said, did you ride it again? Yes, because the stupid teenagers wanted to ride it again. I wish I'd have talked to my brother years ago, because my brother said, you know what? I took my teenagers to those places like that. And they all knew, Brother Block's not riding the ride. I'm thinking, why didn't you expel that to me a few years ago? I've been riding scary rides with teenagers for years because I thought I really had to. And I mean, because they think I was cool and they'd be happy with me. I could have stood over there on the side and just watched them go clankety, clank, clank, clank. Yeah! It would have been a lot more fun. I could have been having a corn dog or a turkey leg. I mean, turkey legs are good at amusement parks. I mean, if I'm going to spend money on something, turkey legs are the way to go. But understand, I don't like lines. But again, we don't want to be in a hurry when it comes to the Word of God. So don't put God on a 2-minute time limit. Don't tell God, God, I mean, I got to hurry. Again, he said, many of us say, oh God, you got 2 minutes, bless me. Let's get it over with. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me. Those who seek me early shall find me. Now, he likes it when we start off the day with him. He goes on and says, if we're reasonable in our scheduling, in our time with God, he will show us truths within that time frame. Now, again, not 2 minutes. Don't put God on a 2-minute time frame. He goes on and says this, and this is very, very important, very, very thoughtful. Set an appointment with God. What he means is have a time that you read your Bible every day or every night. Set an appointment with God. Because he said this, you don't miss doctor's appointments, do you? You don't miss business appointments, do you? Isn't God more important than doctors or business? So don't miss your appointment with God. If you set an appointment with God, I'm going to meet with you tonight at 10 o'clock, or I'm going to meet with you this morning at 6 o'clock, then keep your appointment. Meet with God. He said, God's appointments are very important. Set a schedule every day. Number 5, again, by character, he said, come for the right reason. Come to glorify him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So plan on glorifying God. Understand, not obeying, not having devotions, not reading the Word of God, not approaching God's way. He's not glorified by that. So again, we want to glorify God in everything. We should especially glorify God when it comes to reading the Word of God. Now, they say, and I don't know if it's true because I never time myself, they say that an average person reading average speed can read 4 chapters. Now, I'm not talking about 4 chapters, you know, 6 verses in Psalms and these and some of those. And again, there have been times in my Christian life that my 4 chapters were 6 chapters in Psalms, or 4 chapters in Psalms. Then it's like, well, I did my Bible reading tonight. How long did that take? Well, I don't know, about 5 minutes. Not necessarily the most spiritual thing I've done, but I've done it a few times. And by the way, don't look so spiritual. Some of you have too. Say, but yes, but Brother Block, that was in my normal Bible reading. I just had to read the Psalms. But there's been times you're in a hurry and you find a short chapter. Sometimes I look and it's like 53 verses. I'm thinking, oh man, 53 verses. That's like 10 chapters in some other book. Especially when it's in, my favorite books are not Numbers. My favorite book's not Leviticus. Now, I like that. I mean, I love 1 and 2 Kings. I love the Samuels. I mean, because there's fighting and others. I mean, I like that stuff. But there's some of the books that are not. Now, I still need to read them. One time at School of the Prophets, we had to preach one of those. Now, for School of the Prophets, Brother Taylor's son's been there, and he would tell you the same thing. For School of the Prophets, they say, all right, who's called to preach? Now, Brother Castillo's one of those guys yelling, yeah, yeah. Brother Block's one of those guys going, yeah, yeah. I don't like getting up and yelling for 5 minutes, because that's what School of the Prophets was. It was yelling for 5 minutes at the top of your lungs. And that was what they considered good preaching. You know me, I'm not a yeller. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. I mean, I didn't enjoy yelling at the top of my breath. And so, I mean, one time, and the way they would do it is, you raise up your Bible, then they'd say, all right, Chris Block, get up here. And as you're going up, they give you the verse as you're walking from there to here. They might give you like Leviticus 7:4. And you go to Leviticus 7:4, and it was, and so-and-so, I mean, set over by the altar. You got to preach it. Now, you say, what do you do? Then you figure out some way. But they want you to be able to think on your feet, so you figure out something to preach. And again, I preach them. Now, they weren't all necessarily real useful. But again, they wanted you to get up and be able to preach. I mean, they said you ought to be able to preach, pray, and die at any time. So that was the things. And by the way, I'm ready to die anytime. And I can pray at any time. I wasn't always ready to preach. I wasn't always as excited as they was, because again, my personality is not to get, I can street preach. But when Brother Peugeot and Brother Roy say, you want to go street preaching? Yeah. I'll say, do you need me? And they'll say, nope. I said, nope. So if they say nope, I say no. If I say you need me, and they go, yeah, it'd be nice to come. It's like, all right, let's go. Now, you say, Brother Block, are you looking forward to yelling on the street corner? I am not. Now, I preach on many a street corner. I've hollered at many a passing car. I mean, now, I try not to do what most independent Baptist young preacher boys do and preach about whoremongers and adulterers and prostitutes. And all. I mean, because that's usually what those guys get up there and preach. They don't preach the love of God. They just preach on everybody's sin, like they don't have any themselves. And by the way, I live with some of those preacher boys. I'm well aware that some of them had some sins, and I did too. But, man, we love to get up and yell about the queers and all the rest of them. And that's usually, I mean, independent Baptist preacher boys of Bible college, that's one of their favorite texts, man. I mean, you know, God will judge, and you're going to go to hell. And then you get some response. Sometimes it's good response. Most time it's not good response from the folks in the cars. They don't always appreciate you yelling at them and calling them wicked sinners and all the rest of it. But, I mean, I've done it. I just don't enjoy it. But, again, when you approach God, get a schedule. Again, you want to make sure that you can glorify Him. Number six, and I'll be done. By character, come to it, even if nothing apparently is coming or comes from your coming. Notice Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll say that again because I stumbled and didn't say it right. By character, come to it. Now, I'm talking about devotion time. Even if nothing apparently comes from your coming. You read devotions. You didn't seem to be stirred. You didn't seem to be moved. You didn't seem to get a verse that changed your life. But come anyway. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us why. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is powerful. Whether you know it or not, whether you grasp it or not. And by the way, if you read nothing else, then you at least obeyed God because He tells us to read His word. You at least obeyed Him. But I'll give you an illustration. This was an illustration he gave, and it makes a lot of sense. Brother Vineyard used to tell us something similar to this. But a city kid went out to the farm, and he wanted to get a job, and the farmer said, take that basket, go down to the creek, bring me back some water. That was one of those Thatch baskets. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They're not really made to hold water, but he took that basket down to the creek, dipped it in the creek, raised it up, ran back to the farmer. By the time he got back to the farmer, guess what? Wasn't any water. It all ran out from there to here. Farmer said, I told you you'd get me some water. Kid turned around, ran back to the creek, dipped it in the creek, shook it a little bit, got it as full as he could, made sure got it full, run back to the guy, and he said, there's no water. I thought I told you bring me water. Kid's getting frustrated. I mean, he's been to the creek with the basket. He runs back over there, he dips it, he raises it up, and he dips it, thinking, maybe thought it was going to swell the thatch or all that stuff, and it makes sense to think that, but again, he grabbed it, he brings it up, runs over as fast as he can, doesn't take any stops along the way, brings it over, and the basket's empty. And the young man says to the farmer, says, thank you. The young man says, thank me for what? I didn't bring you any water, nothing happened. And the old farmer said, no, but now I have a clean basket. Yeah. Now, understand, that was his purpose the whole time. He didn't really need any water. He really was telling the kid, clean the basket. And by the way, Brother Vineyard told us this all the time. When you read the Word of God, it's like turning on the faucet at your house and running it through some dirty item. Now, the stuff that's lightly on there will wash off pretty quick. Some of the stuff you just have to keep running, and the longer you run it, it softens it up, and soon it knocks it off. And even the crusty stuff, you keep running it through that strainer. He said, run it through that strainer, and the more times you run it through the strainer gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. That's what the Word of God. So even if apparently nothing seems to have happened, something happened. The Word of God is a powerful book. The Word of God is an amazing book. And it did something to you, even if you didn't realize it did it to you. So he gave us those reasons, again, some things that have character in reading the Word of God to do for us. And by the way, reading the Word of God is probably one of the most important acts that any Christian can do. It is something as parents we should read to the children until they're old enough to read for themselves. And it doesn't hurt to even have family devotions and continue to read to them even after they can read to themselves. And by the way, young people, if mom and dad have a family devotion and read to you at that time, you still need a daily devotion of your own. So you say, Brother Block, that would be having the Bible twice. Trust me, it won't hurt you. It's not gonna cause any pain or suffering, and it'll be good for you. But again, the Word of God, the more the Word of God that we memorize, the more the Word of God that we read, the more that we study, the more that we use, the cleaner we will become. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we might, again, have some character. Lord, we've been trying to study the character series for a reason. Character is doing right by reflex. We want to do right so often that we don't even have to think about it anymore. We just do it. And reading the Word of God is one of those really important things that I wish we could all do without having to think about it. We've done it. It's like brushing our teeth. We do it every day. We don't think about it. We don't have to plan it. I mean, it's just something we do. We can't end our day without it. We can't start our day without it. We have to read the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us realize how important the Word of God is to us, what it'll do to us, what it'll do for us, how it'll help and strengthen us. And I pray, Lord, tonight, that if there's someone here tonight that's without Christ, that they'd realize the Word of God mentions that they can get saved and get born again and know how to go to heaven when they die. And I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's someone lost, that they'd come and let us show them from the Word of God how to be a child of God and go to heaven when they die. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's stand. We'll sing a couple of verses. If you need to come tonight, you come. If you need to get saved, come to Brother Price. We'll take the Word of God and show you how to get saved.